real electrical energy.
How come you never gave up, John? You kept pushing.
I never gave up because I know the state of the world ahead of me was going to be extremely bad. Pollution would be terrible. Not only that, we are destroying so much of the earth, and we will pay the price in death for that. And I need to try to stop that happening.
Next up, we go to Quartz Hill, California. Jeff, there you are. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, I just wanted to first say I think this is one of the greatest guests you've ever had on. I think this is awesome. And what I wanted to say really was more of a thought, I guess. I've always wondered how come since the early 50s or whatever, we've had the same technology in aircraft, meaning like the fastest airplane we've had since then has been the SR-71. And to me, it seems common sense that our own governments would keep this technology hidden from us, because then they'd put oil companies out of business and all that. And I could fully understand that it would be you'd have a tough time getting this technology out. I guess that's it.
You are correct. That is the major problem.
Yeah.
Earlier, you said, Bradley and John, that he had this dream of, hopscotch, and he's bouncing around on these blocks. How did that figure into the invention?
Well, that was very interesting. Everything was saying that if you did not do this, stop, think, and act, then all these children you see, their children will never reach the age to reproduce. The situation would be so bad they'd just simply die. So I have to do that. The trouble was, it always was squares, and this is what I said in the early newsletters. Why always squares? Why not triangles or circles or some other shape? Well, the squares are very important, because what it's telling you is all about the atom. It's telling you that before you can load.
There was a gentleman who was an investor in that. He invested in the winning team, and his name is Alan, I believe. He's one of the co-founders of Microsoft, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Paul Alan.
Thank you. I couldn't remember his first name. Paul, that's it. And he actually has a foundation, or at least he did a couple years ago, and what he has dedicated his foundation to, as I understood it, is taking a boatload of the money that he made from Microsoft, and he invests specifically in promising technologies, which is one of the reasons that he invested in the enterprise so many years ago. But it seems to me like his foundation would be just a hand in the glove with what you're doing. And if you can bring him a workable prototype of it, I would think there might be some tremendous interest in putting together a cross-country tour, you know, with huge media coverage, which is really what you need,
mm-hmm.
bring awareness to not the philosophy or theory that you're talking about, but the fact that you've actually got something that feels on the ground going to work.
Well, thank you for your call. I'd like to point out that we are in America now, searching for ideal places to set up. We're also setting up a demonstration which will go on tour between radio stations and TV stations to get maximum publicity. Because when they see this, they will see something that is unbelievable. And as far as the scientific world goes, impossible. Yet they will see it with their own eyes. This will help funds to come in.
Okay, very good. Waylon in Houston, Texas, you're up. Go ahead, Waylon.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
This is probably the most amazing thing I've ever heard of. And, you know, I'm not an educated man, but it makes plenty of sense to me. And I think this is the way of the future. And I would like to know if there's a way I could donate towards the research and development of this stuff.
Well, thank you for your call. We are open to everyone who wants to help. We have our chief engineer lives in California. He is Doing a lot of running about at the moment to meet people for me. But once we can set up in the USA, I'm sure you will be able to give us a helping hand, one way or another.
Yeah, and I just want to add to that that there is a specific site for some more detailed information, including an investment page, and you can find that at www.searlsolution.com. And there is an investment page for people to peruse. And John, of course, is talking about Fernando Morris, the chief engineer of Searle Magnetics.
Let's go to our Skype line, Larry in Austin, Texas. Hi, Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been following the SEG for a while now, and I believe John Searle did exactly what he claims he did. And I have the video, too, by the way. I can attest it's excellent. As I understand it, the use of alternating current and DC current is the secret to magnetizing the materials to make the SEG-style magnet.
That's correct.
My question is simple. Why, John, have you not allowed others the opportunity to duplicate your findings? It seems this technology is too important to mankind to have it buried or not have others do peer reviews. So how about doing publishing the frequencies and ratios for others to verify this?
Well, there are two important issues here. Patent office says to us, do not patent it, it's a know-how. Second is, terrorists are looking for technology which can destroy things faster. And one of these magnetizers could black out a whole town, probably as much as 50 miles away, if they use that field as a weapon. You would have to buy all new TVs, computers, a power generator would have to be installed to put your power back again. That is why we have set a company up specially to do the magnetic side of people who have been fully trusted that they will not use the technology to force other people to do things they don't want to do.
When you've tested the Levity disc, other than the ones that just took off and they're still going off into the universe, how high up did they generally go?
By of course, the height, you can adjust now to whatever you want. As you will see, eventually a new document on my website say that we are setting 200 kilometers orbit path for our crafts to park. That would mean there shouldn't be nothing else there to be any problem to us or to them. Speed, now, what would happen if we were flying, say, from London to New York? We would simply go up above the atmosphere, then shoot across and drop down into New York. Time factor, about 15 minutes.
15 minutes, New York to London. Amazing.
And the price would be cheap.
It sure would be. That is amazing. Let's go to Pewaukee, Wisconsin. Steve, go ahead.
Hi, hi, George.
Hey, Steve.
Glad to be online with you. Just to let you know, I've been a listener for over 15 years.
Thank you.
John, I had actually two quick questions, if I may. One would be, how would the human body deal with these kind of speed, first of all?
Sorry, I got to drop to follow you because it's a bit distorted.
Yeah, John, he was asking about if you were on board the IGV, what would happen?
Oh, is that as you're sitting now, the force that you actually got playing on you would only be half that amount in the IGV. You would have no knowledge of movement, and you have no sound effects. All you have in front of you is your records, all your data coming in, and the directions, winds, and so forth for where you're going to land. It is, shall we say, like sitting in your armchair looking at your computer. That is the sort of feeling, only you feel a lot better.
What causes it to move once it's out of the gravity pull of the planet? How does it still
it's
move?
It's what we call the space inertia. That drives it forward. It's the forces of the planets squeezing on its shell, just like if you've got a pip from the seed, from some fruit, and you just gently squeeze, it shoots forward. Well, that is exactly how the craft actually moves. It is forces acting on it that is forcing it forwards. But the trouble is, to prevent it getting out of hand, we have to put power on the top shell to slow it down, to act as a drag, to keep it at the speed we want to go.
And, George, I think that caller had a second question.
Well, let's move on, because they're jamming up on us here, and we've only got a few minutes to go here, Bradley. So we'll grab as many more final callers as we can. Let's go to Barbara in Stanford, California. Go ahead. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, George, and John, and Bradley. I have a question. I went on to the website that's linked, and there's no contact area, so it's a little bit confusing as far as, are you trying to sell this technology, or are you looking to develop it, find a collaborative enterprise to develop it, like a university, or
a Paul Allen.
Well, like there's a lot of companies that would not companies. There's nonprofit agencies like Electric Power Research Institute in Palo Alto that works with all of the utility companies in America and abroad, you know, on nuclear power and different types of power and energy.
I'm not sure, Barbara, utilities would get involved in this. I just don't know if they know how to make any money, John. How would a power company make money on this?
Big Coast California is one of our places we're looking at to set up. Yes, we're hoping that the